It's good to be back again. By God's grace, I'm going to try to preach again today. I apologize that I had to miss 5 Sundays preaching because of my affliction. And I am very weak today, and I hope you'll forgive me. I want to thank you again for your prayers, and especially some of you that have gone out of your way to help me, Steve, Teresa, Matt Reichert, and others. And I missed all of you, and I prayed for you, and I thank you for your prayers. Today, by God's grace, I'd like to start a new short mini-series of perhaps 10 messages on what I call super superlatives. What do I mean by that? Well, when we were in school, we learned what the word superlative means. There's 3 degrees of comparison. There's the simple. We'd say something is good. And then if it's better than that, we'd say it's a comparative. It is better. But if it's best, we would say it's the superlative. Good, better, best. But then on some occasions, something is beyond superlative. It is better than the best. It is in a class all of its own. And we would call that the super superlative. And so then in the spiritual realm, there are these super superlatives that we can hardly even grasp. My old friend Ian Wright, who has preached at our conference more than once, wrote a book with the delightful title, God is Always Better Than We Can Imagine. And that's what I'd like to preach on this morning. And I'll give you advance notice in the next few weeks, we'll be looking at God is bigger than we can imagine. We can also suffer more pain than we can imagine. Sin is worse than we think it is. Heaven is better than we can imagine. Hell is worse than we can imagine. By God's grace today, I want to bring you a message on perhaps the best of the super superlatives. My favorite subject, God loves us more than we can imagine. You'll notice the road sign that's been out there for a number of weeks. God loves you more than you think. I'm reminded of a line from a song from my childhood. Some of you may remember, Jesus loves you more than you know, Mrs. Robinson. Let's go back to Ephesians, which we went through for over a year until we finished it back in January. So turn with me to Ephesians 3, 2 verses that I don't think I gave enough attention to at that time. Look at Ephesians 3. And Paul is now praying there in the last part of the chapter. Verse 17, he says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You'll see here that he says that we can know it, but we can't know all of it. He says, go into the depths and the height and the length and the breadth, but it passes knowledge. It's just like elsewhere, he says, the peace of God surpasses knowledge. We can know it, but we can't know all of it. It fills our heart, but it overflows. And he says the same thing here about the love of God. Now, the scholars have tried to guess, what does he mean about these 4 dimensions? But the point is, it's infinite. It has a 4th dimension. In algebra you learned in school, or maybe you tried to learn like I did, that there are 3 dimensions. But there's a 4th dimension here, and that's indicating it's beyond what we are accustomed to. It is infinite, and then it's in all directions. It's deep. When we go through a deep trial, God's love is there. We look to the skies. It's above the skies. It's broader. It's like that great hymn, The Love of God. And we sang that not long ago. And you remember the line that it says, the love of God is like the sky from east to west. It's above the skies. And if every man on earth was a scribe, and the ocean was filled with ink, and every blade of grass was a quill, writing upon the scroll of the sky, even then we could never fully write the love of God. Why? It's infinite. In that sense, it's beyond our full knowledge. Christ loves us more than we can fully know, but he calls upon us to begin to know it, but we can never fully know it in this life or even in heaven, because we will still be finite. The love of God is infinite. Now, according to the Word of God, there are two types of the love of God. First, there's what we call common grace. It's something that all men and women everywhere have in common, even if they're not Christians, even if they never become Christians. God has a love for all men everywhere. Some will later get saved, but God loves them even when they're lost. When we don't appreciate his love, we're unlovable. But God is love, and he has love for those that hate him. God loves his enemies. And God shows this by giving love gifts to all men. Acts 14:17, Paul began to witness to these lost pagans by saying, God has given you sunshine and food that make your heart happy. God has given us the gift of beauty and of love and art and music. All those are his love gifts to us. Out of his great love for lost sinners, God delays judgment. We deserve to be in hell right now. Every minute we're still on planet Earth is a love gift that cries out to us, return to God. He offers us salvation. He restrains sin in the world so that it's not worse than it is. If he took off the restraints, everybody would murder each other. God helps the world go on and on. He gives the gifts of medicine. I thank God for that in the last 5 weeks. Romans 2:4 says, God calls upon us to repent, and he gives us these good gifts of love as it were to entice us to himself. And he gives happiness even to those that don't know him. It all is traceable back to what we call common grace. But they don't truly appreciate it or God that gives us these love gifts. If you are still not yet a Christian, if you have never been born again, I would tell you God does love you. He has loved you from the moment you were born, and even in the 9 months before that, he is patiently calling to you in love, come to him who is the God of love. Come and receive the love of God. He loves you more than you know. Yes, he really does love you. Even though you are a sinner on your way to hell, God calls out to you, I love you, I love you, I love you more than you can ever imagine. Come and know this God and the love of God. But the Bible also speaks of what the theologians call special grace. Common grace is for all men and women everywhere. Special grace is for those that God has chosen back in eternity and that Christ died for in a special way, not just in a general way for all men, and that it ends up in heaven. This is a special love that he reserves for his children that have been born again. For example, you parents, you love every child in your neighborhood, but you have a special love for your children. You husbands have a special love for your wife, and yet you love everybody else. So you see what I'm getting at. Christ has a special love for his bride, Ephesians 5 tells us, and God has a general love for all people, but a special love for his children. And we call that special grace. In love, it says in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, in love, God chose us to be his children. We didn't choose him, he chose us. Jesus said that. Jesus Christ said, you did not choose me, I chose you. And he chose out of this special grace and love. Now, all people are his children by creation, but only his special children are his children by redemption and adoption. This is that special love of God that Paul says, I want you to know, and it's infinite, and it continues into eternity. That's what I'll concentrate on this morning to remind you, my dear brothers and sisters, God loves you more than you can ever imagine. It's the super superlative love of God. Ephesians 3 says it's beyond knowledge. It's infinite. It's beyond dimensions. Because God is infinite, he is unlimited. What is the love of God? It's simply God loving. If God is infinite, therefore his love is infinite. It's the greatest. It's the greatest, greatest. Or as one little child said, it's the bestest. I like that. It's the super superlative. It's not just bigger or biggest. It's beyond big. The universe is far bigger than we realize. I'm going to talk about that in a few weeks, saying that God is bigger than the universe. We can't comprehend how great and big the universe is, and I'll give you some measurements in a few weeks when we get to that. But God is even bigger than the universe, and so is his love. The love of God is bigger and better than any love we've ever had. Husband and a wife, parent and child, lovers. Love of God surpasses all of that. God loves his children more than he loves the whole universe. God loves even the smallest of his children more than he loves all of the angels put together. They are his servants. He loves them. You are his child. He loves you more than any of them. He loves you more than Michael the archangel. Or Gabriel, he loves you more than all the angels combined. More than the whole universe. One of the great theologians a few hundred years ago said, God would rather destroy the whole universe rather than one of his beloved children would ever perish. One of my favorite preachers I like to read was the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, died over 100 years ago. And he put it like this. He says, the love of God is like an enormous ocean. And go to the shore and you might just see a little fish swimming around and every now and then takes a gulp of the ocean. And he says, drink on, little fish. You'll never drink the ocean dry. And he says, drink on, little Christian. You will never exhaust the love of God. It's greater than an ocean. In another place, he said, you can't put the whole ocean in a teacup, nor can you fill your whole heart with the love of God. It's greater than your heart. It's eternal. And that simply is infinite time. Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. The Bible says God existed before time began. And there's a wonderful verse that says, the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting on those that fear him. From eternity past into eternity future, without beginning and without end. Remember I said it's eternal, that's infinite time. We're talking about the infinity of God's love. It was a pop song some years ago, sung by two different ladies. And the line was, and I will always love you. Human love sometimes fails because we're finite and we're sinners. God is not finite and he's certainly not a sinner. God says to each one of you, he sings this love song, and I will always love you. There's no divorce from God. God loves you all the days of your life, however long or short they are, and more. It's also unchangeable. Unlike our love, which rises and falls with the emotions and the seasons, God loves you at all times. Even in those times when the tears come and you're lonely and you're afraid, or when you're hurting, that doesn't affect the love of God. It's constant. It's unchangeable. Unlike our love that is not like that, it is changeable. God still loves you. Now get this straight and don't misunderstand me. Even as Christians, we still sin. God still loves you even when you sin. That's not approving of your sin. That's what the Bible calls grace. It's undeserved love. And it's unchangeable. In tragedy, sometimes we doubt of his love. We say, if God loves me, how could let this happen to me? Never doubt God's love. Even in those times, behind that dark cloud, there's still the bright shining sunshine of God's love. We need to be reminded. And that's why I'm reminding you of it to you today. Next, it's unbreakable. We read earlier, Romans 8:35, who can separate us from the love of God? It's inseparable. It's an unbreakable chain that even the devil cannot break. In the book of Malachi, chapter 1, God was pleading with his people in Israel, and he says, I have loved you, and yet you say, how have you loved me? Well, God could have said, well, I took you out of the slavery of Egypt. I've given you food. I gave you my prophets, my covenants. And then he goes on to list some of them. 150 or so years ago, Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a delightful poem, and maybe some of you memorized it, but all of us have heard the opening line, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Well, let's count some of the ways that God loves us. And of course, I'm only giving you, 10 of them this morning, and the list could go on infinitely. Number one, there's the distance between God and us. He is infinitely high over us. He condescends to love us. We're so tiny, so puny compared to God. He stoops to love us. Psalm 108:4 says, your mercy is great above the heavens. And I'll get to that when we talk about the heaven of heavens is not infinite. There is an end to God's creation, but God is beyond that. So God is infinite. The distance between us and God is infinite. He stoops to give us his infinite love. Number two, there's the difference between God and us. God is not only quantitatively bigger than us, he is qualitatively different than us. He is holy. He is holy, holy, holy. He is infinitely, eternally, perfectly holy. He is the holiest, the super superlative of his holiness. But what about us? We are all sinful. And as we'll see in a few weeks, we are more sinful than we can imagine. So he not only stoops to love us that are so small, he stoops to love us that are grossly sinful. Number three, God is love. That's his very nature. In fact, in 1 John 4, it's repeated twice. Very rarely does God say something twice. Over in the book of Psalms, he says several dozen times, his mercy endures forever. But twice we're told, God is love. He is lovable to the superlative degree. God is loveworthy. He is worthy of our love. But we are unlovable. We're unloveworthy. We are worthy of the wrath of God, every single one of us, from the children to the oldest saints here. We deserve God's wrath, not his love. But because God loves us, he is love, he loves us still. Number four, he gives more gifts to us than we realize through providence, as I've said earlier. Think of all the gifts that God has given to you. Every smile on your face you've ever experienced, even when you are a lost sinner, can be traced back to God giving you some love gift. And then there are special love gifts that he gives to his children. The Bible, salvation, the Holy Spirit, heaven. Number five, we give gifts out of love to others at Christmas, birthday, anniversaries, or sometimes the husband will surprise his wife with a special gift just to say, I wanted to surprise you with a special love gift. God gives love gifts to us, but the greatest one of all is his darling son, Jesus. Jesus, God loves the Son from all eternity in an infinite way. And he has given us his own Son. You know John 3:16, God the Father so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, he, that's Jesus, gave himself out of love. Back in the covenant of redemption eternity, the Father said, I'm going to show my love to these that I have chosen. And the Son says, I'm going to show my love by giving myself for them at the cross. Can you imagine a greater display of God's love? And we respond by giving ourselves to him out of love. Just like a husband and wife. I love you. I love you too. Parent says that to the child, and the child says, I love you too, Daddy. We are to say, Father, I love you. And that really touches our loving Heavenly Father's heart when we say to him, I love you. Or when we go through a trial and we say, I still love you, Lord Jesus. That touches his heart. We can never give to God anything that equals his love to us. We can never outlove God, because even on our best days, our love is not perfect. It's always finite. We can never outlove God, because God loves us more than we know. Number six, angels are superior to us, and God loves them. They're older than we are. They're smarter. They're stronger. They're holy. But as I said, God loves us more than the angels. He loved them before we existed, and he did choose them out of love, but he loves us even more than the angels. Number seven, as I said, we are guilty sinners that deserve God's wrath. But has it occurred to you that one of the great ways that God shows his love for sinners is that he freely forgives us all of our sins, not just some of them? There are those that say, well, he forgives your sins up until you get saved, and after that, you better behave yourself or he's going to renounce that forgiveness. I don't know where they get that from. It's not in the Bible. We're guilty, and he freely, underscore that, he freely forgives us everything. We can't count up how many sins we've committed. They're not infinite, because only God is infinite, but some people will say, yeah, I once stole something. I told a lie at school. And yeah, I know I said a bad word. You cannot count up how many times you have sinned. Some people think it's like, well, occasionally, maybe 10 times in a day. Or when you're in a bad mood, maybe you do several sins within 1 minute. No, no, no. It's not, you know, like, it's not like that. It's like nonstop our whole lives. There's not been 1 second of your existence you have not sinned before you became a Christian. And you could never count up that many. Billions and billions and billions. You've seen the statistics. Get out a calculator and say, okay, 1, 2. Now, what if I keep multiplying that by 100? You can't count that high. But God gives us full forgiveness for all of our sins, more than we can count. And it's all free. Number eight, his love is greater than our sins. We sing in a hymn, grace, grace, grace that is greater than all of our sins. Now, some sinners sin more than others. And then, of course, the longer we go in this life, we multiply our sins. And some are worse sinners than others, but we are more guilty than we realize. But God's love is greater than even that. Number 9, God loves us more than we love other people. Yes, we love our parents, our children, our spouse. Jesus said, love your enemies. But God loves his children more than we love our children. Because God is perfect and greater. And God loves his precious bride more than any man has ever loved his bride. And then number 10, the greatest display of the love of God is not in the gifts of creation or the Bible, as great as that is. The greatest display of God's love is the death of his Son. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It says the same thing in 1 John 4:9 and 10. So brethren, if you ever doubt the love of God, just remember Jesus on the cross. Every drop of blood that he spilt on that day, as it were, was crying out, I love you, I love you. Every groan, every pain that he experienced was shouting out, I love you, I love you. You've probably heard it put. You say to Jesus, how much do you love me? And he stretched out his hands on the cross and says, this much. Now, how does this love of God flow to us? It's the love of God within the Trinity. And the Bible frequently says, used as a lovely phrase, the love of God, like 2 Corinthians 13:14. Recently, I was reading that chapter, and I noticed a phrase I don't think I have ever seen before. Has that ever happened to you? You read the Bible, and then you come across a verse, and you say, you know, I see something I don't think I've ever seen before. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says the love of God, but 2 Corinthians 13:11 says the God of love. Love of God, God of love. He is the God of love, and the love of God is simply God sharing his love with us. It starts within the Trinity. John 15:9, Jesus said, as the Father loved me, so I loved you. From the Father to the Son to us, and from the Son to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, I know this is deep, but this is choice wine. From the Father to the Son through the Spirit into our hearts. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Spirit. Do you got that? We feel it. And God delights to show this magnanimous love to his people. It makes him happy. Don't some of you parents feel like that when you play with your children and you look at them and they come up and they say, can I show you something? And they crawl up on your knee. Doesn't that make you happy to show love to them and say, give me a hug and I'm going to give you a big hug? That's what God does. It actually makes him happy. The great Jonathan Edwards wrote a wonderful sermon called Heaven is a World of Love, and we have copies in the lobby, and he says that the love of God is an infinite ocean that has no shore and has no bottom, and we can swim in it all eternity. I like to say our little hearts will be like a cup under an infinitely flowing waterfall. It'll always be overflowing our hearts, but not only that, that little cup will be growing and expanding. We can experience more of the love of God throughout eternity. Ephesians 2:7 and Romans 9 uses this illustration of a vessel, a cup, a pitcher, being regularly filled up for all eternity. That's why God chose you. To fill your heart with love and have your love returned to him. We'll never fully know how much God loves us, even in eternity. That's why we will be spending eternity knowing more of it. And we'll keep receiving it and keep returning it to him. That's the destiny that God has chosen us for. That's why God chose us, Christ died for us, the Spirit redeemed us so that he can take us to himself. He wants to love you forever and ever. And it begins now, and it will never end even then. People ask, what will we do in heaven? Well, we'll worship, we'll serve him, and we'll receive his love. It's like another question, what was God doing in eternity before he created us? The Father was loving the Son, and the Son was loving the Spirit. They're all loving each other and beholding each other's beauty and enjoying one another. And that's what he shares with us into eternity. We'll always receive his love and behold his beauty, and we will love him in return. It will be loving worship. I mentioned Jonathan Edwards, my favorite theologian, and when he was still in his early 20s, he wrote a series of resolutions, and one of them he said this, and I'll paraphrase it. He said, resolved never to doubt of the love of God, and whenever I do doubt of it, take those doubts and throw them away. Dear brothers and sisters, never forget, God loves you more than you know, or that you can know or will ever know, but you can know it at least in part. Never forget that. How can you know that God loves you so much? You can by experiencing it. And then perhaps we can sing a variation of the song we heard the children sing earlier. We could sing, Jesus loves me more than I know, for the Bible tells me so. Brethren, I hope that this has been a blessing to your heart as it has been to mine. The love of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you really do love us. And you love us more than we know. And we know that you love us because we've experienced it in our hearts. We pray for the lost, maybe in our families, our friends. Pray that your love would come through the Son, through the Spirit to us, and through us to them. Overwhelm them with your love and save them. Thank you, Father, that the greatest display of your love was the cross. And now we'll meditate upon it at communion as we think of the love of Jesus for us unworthy sinners. Thank you, Father, for loving us. We love you too. In Jesus' name, amen.